Listen, I'm going to talk to you this morning about his yoke, but before we get to that, a couple of things. We did do Tom's memorial yesterday, and it was just an honor and a privilege to be able to do it. I don't like the fact that I can't call him, and he can't give me a hard time anymore, but he will in the future, I'm sure of that. But I wanted to tell you just a little bit about this young lady. Her name is Angelina, and she has Down syndrome and has a little bit of trouble communicating. But she said, and Tom always said, I'm his favorite, right? And she loved him, but she was really struggling with, I'm not going to see Tom anymore. Because she considered him her father. I'm not going to see Tom anymore. So she was in her room and she was praying, and she has experiences like this, and I knew that, and I knew in my heart a few weeks ago when he passed, I knew that she was going to have an experience, but this is what happened. She was in her bedroom and she was talking to the Lord, and Jesus came into her room and took her up to heaven. And she saw her dad, and then she said, I saw Tom, Pastor Tom, playing the guitar and worshiping. And he looked over at me and said, tell Leslie, she'll be with me soon. Glory to God. I mean, out of the mouth of babes, right? Do I believe that? I totally believe that. I totally believe she saw that. I totally believe. And what a comfort that was to Leslie. What a comfort. Except Leslie knows that her too soon, or soon could be 10 years. Could be, you know, soon is and her vocabulary is a long ways away. But God is good. He's faithful. How many know we're only here for a minute? We're only here for a minute. I've got something to preach to you this morning, but before we go there, I want to read to you out of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And verse 1, it says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come to you with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling, and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but of the demonstration of the Spirit and the power of God, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Here's what I feel like is that we need to get back to the fact that God is with us. And sometimes with the news and the overwhelming things, and it feels like everybody's running away from God, get back to the simplicity that's in the gospel. In the gospel. If you don't know the gospel, what are we doing, right? Come on. We're all sinners. You know, we all sinned. We're not really sinners after Christ, but we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It's really simple. Jesus came and He died to take your place. Right? It's really simple, but it's so profound. You need a Savior. Jesus is it. And if you'll yield your heart to Him and give it to Him completely, He will not only save you, but He'll transform you. Glory to God. His power is able to deliver you and all that stuff, but you need a Savior. Jesus is it. Get with the program. Amen. But believe that and know that that's the power for everybody who has trouble that's outside of the kingdom of God. Do we still believe the Bible? Do we still believe the Bible? I want to read to you something again, I will get to my sermon, I think. But go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. We all know this verse, right? But I'm going to read a little bit more. Because, see, I believe this with all of my heart. I believe what I'm about to read with all of my heart. I believe that Jesus said it. I believe that He meant it. I believe it was true then, and it's true now. Okay? So in verse 16 it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through Him might be saved." Now this part is a little sobering to me, I think. It says, "He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." You see, those who are out there who don't believe in Jesus, the condemnation that they have is not because God's saying, "Oh, look at you, sinner, you're going to hell." Their condemnation is that they haven't received the one who took the condemnation. All sin, right? All sin. Any sin, big sin, little sin. Any sin is not welcomed in heaven. None. Right? People say, you know, are you a liar? No, I'm not a liar. Have you ever lied? How many times? How many times does it make, you know, do you have to do before you're a liar? Right? Is it one? Is it ten? Is it a thousand? Is it? No, it's just one. Right? And on and on. But the deal is that that sin, and the sin of actually Adam, carries a condemnation. And what is a condemnation? A condemnation is the penalty that's assessed on the crime. Right? So we all deserve the condemnation. This is just the gospel. Right? God so loved the world that all who believe on Him should not perish but have everlasting life. But listen to this. If you believe on Him, you have no condemnation.
Thank you, Lord.
But if you don't believe on Him, if you don't receive Him as your Lord and Savior, then the condemnation that's on mankind is already yours. We've got a job to do. Right? Everybody that you know that doesn't know Jesus, you need to pray for, but you need to speak up. We need to speak up. They're not going to heaven because they're good. You know, I'm not the judge, but they're not going to heaven if they don't have Jesus as their Savior. That's just it. Glory to God. But it's our job. It's not our job. It's our privilege. It's our privilege. It's our privilege. To say, "Hey man, we're all in the same boat. I'm no better than you. I'm no worse than you. We're all in the same boat, but let me just tell you what happened to me. I saw that I needed a Savior, and Jesus came into my life, and He's forever changed me. He'll do the same for you." And then know that the power of God, watch this, the power of God backs up His word when it comes to salvation.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. One story, and then I think I'll get back into what I'm going to preach this morning. Years ago, I first got saved, and I got saved with some radical guys that had preached to a lamppost. I mean, they were just out there witnessing all the time. Well, their personalities were such that they did that. I'm more of a reserved guy. But I knew that that's what we were supposed to be doing. And I read in the Bible where it said, "Lord, we pray for boldness. We pray for boldness that we might proclaim the gospel." In other words, that may not be our given trait or our given natural ability, but we pray, "Lord, for boldness to proclaim Your word." So I was on my face proclaiming, you know, just asking God, "God, I need boldness, because that's not me. That's not me." Well, we went out the next Friday night and was down in the streets of Kent. And we ran into this guy who'd been in the bar, and so he was a little bit lit up, if you know what I mean. And we started to just witness to him, and the guys that are with were proclaiming the word to him, and he was from the LDS background, and you know, he was coming up with this and coming up with that, and he was speaking and speaking and speaking, and this boldness rose up in my midst and said, I said, listen, we've been listening to you talk for 10 minutes. It's time that you be quiet and listen to what we have to say. Bold. That's not me, right? That's not what I normal. That's not my personality, right? But I've been praying for boldness that I might proclaim the gospel to people that are lost. The bottom line is that we proclaimed that he gave his heart to Jesus, right? But who can do that? Who can do that? Who's supposed to do that? Everybody, right? All of us. Hallelujah. Go to Matthew chapter 11. I'm not going to charge you extra for that sermon, so you know, don't worry about it. Mark chapter 11. And verse 28 says this. Come to me, all of you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I want to talk to you this morning about his yoke. His yoke. I'm not a rancher, as Renita will tell you. I know nothing about farms, nothing about any of that, but I've read a little bit about it. And you remember the covered wagons that came across the United States, and there were the wagon trains, and what's that? You weren't there? Well, we're not sure, but watch this now. Watch this. What they would do is oxen were some of the best traveling animals because they were strong and they'd go a long way, right? So, but what they would do is they'd get a strong adult, you know, older oxen, and they'd put him in one side of the yoke, and then they would get a young oxen and put him in the other side so that the older one was pulling most of the weight, but he was training the younger one to pull as well. So when it began, the younger one was just there, and the older one was pulling all the weight. Well, Jesus said, look at this. He said, take my yoke upon you. In other words, I am going to pull the weight, but I'm going to train you how to come into the ministry and work with me. Take my yoke upon you. I'm with you. I'm carrying you. Don't worry about it. How am I going to get through this? Well, I'm yoked with him. How am I going to get past what I'm going through? I'm yoked with him. I don't feel like it. I don't feel like, man, I just imagine sometimes I'm in that yoke and my feet are up in the air just going like this. Right? And Jesus is carrying me. Read this again. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. Anybody in that category? Anybody ever been in that category? Anybody, you know, suffering or feeling that even this morning, right? It's like we all have the tendency and go through situations that are tough. He was talking to people that were going through things. There's another aspect to this that we're going to talk to in a minute, but I don't care what you're going through. When you're going through it, get yoked up. Get yoked up. The enemy wants to take you away from the yoke. He wants to tell you you're no good, that you blew it, that you'll never do anything for God again. You know, all of the things that He'll tell you. He'll tell you all of your shortcomings, all of your faults, all of the reasons why it won't work for you. But that's the moment. That's the time when you have, oh, just, excuse me, just a minute. I'm going to get in this yoke again. Jesus, I'm going with you. Because He said, come to me. Right now, this morning, right now, He's saying to all of us the same thing. Come to me. What are you going through? It doesn't matter. Come to me. Come to me. This morning, come to Jesus. Come on, can we all do that by faith? Lord, we're just sitting here in your presence. We got a lot of stuff going on in our lives. We got decisions and all that to make. But this morning, we're just going to accept your invitation. All you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So Lord, we just receive your rest right now. In Jesus' name. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Now people say, oh yes, bless God, I'm suffering for Jesus. Life is hard. Life is just so hard. And, you know, I'm going to make it through and someday I'll be with Him. But it's so tough down here. All the troubles I face. Listen, that's not His yoke. I said, that's not His yoke. That's your yoke. You're trying to pull the load. You're trying to do the work. Because He goes on to describe in the last verse, He says, look at, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If it's not easy and it's not light, it's not His. Yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through. I understand, and I understand the pain, and I understand the frustration, and I understand sometimes the anxiety, but the fact is, if you're overwhelmed with that, it's because you're not resting in Him. Glory to God. The 23rd Psalm, I love this part of it. It's really not a funeral psalm, right? It's for us that are living. Come on. Come on. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He's with me. It says this, that He prepares a table before me in the midst of my enemies. Get that picture the next time you're starting to get overwhelmed. Sit down and eat. Right? Sit down and eat. Sit down and say, no, Lord, no, devil, listen, I know there's a lot of stuff going on and some decisions that I got to make and a lot of temptation to worry. But Lord, I'm going to take your yoke upon me because your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Amen. Now, there's another aspect to this, and I think He was speaking to it. He was saying, the burden that the law gives, your being right, your living up to the expectations of righteousness that are even outlined in the Old Testament, the burden of doing that is heavy. Do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that, do this. And if you do it all perfectly, then you're good, but if you don't, you're not. That was the burden or the weight of the Old Testament. But Jesus said, I've come to replace that. And my burden is easy. Come on. What is He saying? He's saying, listen, if you'll come to me and believe in me, then I'll take the condemnation that was against you, but I will also put my righteousness upon you. So when I say, Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you just the way I am. I might have fallen down. I might have messed up. I might have, you know that I failed Him in a certain way. But if I come to Him trusting that His blood is enough, Father, I come in the name of Jesus. And I come to find help in my time of trouble. I come right now for that. He's ever present to be there for us. Amen? Come on. See, the law says you've got to do to become. Grace says you have to believe to receive. Let me say that again. The law says that you have to do to become, but grace says you have to believe to receive. Lord, I need your peace. I need your peace. I need your peace. I need your peace. So I need to pray enough. I need to fast enough. I need to do this. I need to read 10 books. I need to, oh God, I'm looking for peace. And he's saying, stop. Just believe. And if you believe, then you'll receive my peace. What am I saying? In the midst of going through stuff that's bringing anxiety and turmoil, rather than staying awake all night, begin to meditate on the goodness of God and saying, Lord, I'm putting your yoke on. I'm going to bed. I'm going to sleep. Because you give your beloved sleep. It says that in the Psalms. Lord, I'm going to be able to sleep tonight because I'm taking your yoke upon me. A quote from Pat Robertson that I heard years ago, and it's stuck with me. He said, I work all day. I work as hard all day as if it's up to me. Working for the Lord. I work very hard for the Lord. But I go to sleep at night like it's up to Him. Come on. It's like, Lord, I'm going to do all my part, but I'm going to quit worrying about your part. Come on. I'm telling you how to... Come on. This is stress-free relief. Right here. This is better than anything you can do. I mean, I know the gummies help, and I know that some other things, you know, sessions help, but I think this is the answer right here. Whose yoke are you wearing? Oh, Lord, you know, I know that I'd be receiving if I was only as good as this person or that person, or if Lord, if I only prayed enough, or if I only had the gifts that that person had, or if I only had their money, Lord, my life would be so much easier. And the reality is none of that is true. None of it's true. Why? Because they've got as much trouble as you do. I remember I was at Rhema and going to school, working, trying to pay the bills, and you know, it's a long story, but the first year, every time tuition was due, it was a struggle for me. And I'm looking at this fellow, his name was Bob Harrison, and he'd come from Southern California. He was pretty well off. He owned car dealerships in Southern California. And he was in my class. And I thought, and he drove up in a Cadillac. And, you know, I'm looking at him and I'm thinking, man, I wish I... You know, I had his money. My troubles would be over. And then one share in praise, he got up. And he began to tell the story of the turmoil and the struggle and the stuff that he had to go through to even be in class. And I just repented. Right? I just repented because what I was dealing with was nothing compared to what he was dealing with. But whatever we're dealing with, if we'll trust God, we can say, Lord, I'm giving this to you. I'm giving this to you. I'm taking your yoke. I'm preaching to me as much as I'm preaching to you. Can I just be honest with you? All right? I mean, the last few months have been tough. You know, I've done memorial services. Wednesday nights, we're preaching with two or three people here. Right? And go, Lord, what's going on? What's going on? What have I done wrong? What have I done wrong? You know, what am I done? You know, all of those kind of things. But at the end of the day, you have to go, no, Lord. It's all up to you. I'm just here going to do what you want me to do, and it's up to you. And what a privilege it is if I get to preach to three people, 300 people, two people. It doesn't, one-on-one, it doesn't matter. right? And Lord, you've allowed us to do this live streaming thing, where that this morning, right now, that there are people watching. I know one is watching in Oklahoma. I hope so, honey. I hope you're watching. But you know, people all over are watching and receiving. It's not the same as being in the room, I'll just tell you, but it's good. It's awesome. So God is good. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. This is one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible. Well, I have lots of favorites, but this, Romans chapter 8. And you could preach it. Years ago, I taught through the book of Romans, but I decided to start in Romans chapter 8 because I think it's the pivotal swing point of the whole book. And it says, you know, talks a lot in the beginning about the law versus, you know, faith and so on and so forth. But he comes to verse 1 of chapter 8. He says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." I think it'd be good for you to just go around saying that. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I've had to use this verse when I felt like a failure. I've had to use this verse when it seemed like I wasn't measuring up to what I thought other people were doing. I had to use this verse when I felt like I wasn't as good as somebody else. "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." The King James and the New King James verses and says, "who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Many other manuscripts from did you know there was like 1,500 manuscripts that you can get to translate the New Testament? Did you know that? And so many of them. I'm not going to get into that, but watch this. Some of them, cut out that part and just leave it. "There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus." Now, here's what I want you to get before we go to the rest of it. There's two categories of people. There's the people who are stuck in their flesh, and then there's people who've been born again and their spirits have been made right with God. So they're not living in the flesh any longer. They don't have to be dominated by the flesh any longer. They're in the Spirit because they've been made alive in Christ Jesus. If you're born again, if Jesus is Lord of your life, then you're alive unto Him. Woo, glory to God. The Bible says in Colossians, it says, "if you've been risen with Him." Have you been risen with Him? I am. I'm identified not only with His death. I'm identified with that. I'm identified with His burial. I've died to myself. But more importantly to me, and walking in His yoke is dependent on the fact that I am absolutely identified in His resurrection. Why? Why is that so important? Well, thanks for asking. I'll tell you why. It's because His resurrection proved that His blood went before the Father and it was declared to have paid the price for the sins of the whole world. And that all who are covered by that blood are now living not in their own righteousness, which no one could do well enough, but are now covered by the blood of Jesus. And His righteousness gives me access into everything that He paid the price for me to have. Oh, glory to God. I'm risen with Christ. I'm risen with Christ. I look at His resurrection and I thank You, Lord, and praise You, Lord, that I'm alive in You. Verse 1 again, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Oh, glory to God. See, the Old Testament yoke was, if you sin, you die. If you live in sin, you die. I grew up in a Christian church who proclaims Jesus, that said, you better be careful, because when Jesus comes, you know, if you haven't repented from that lie you told 5 minutes ago, you're not going with him. But that's not true. I said, that's not true. That's not true. If you believe that Jesus is Lord of your life and that he's taken your place, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I don't live from death to death. I live from life to life. Glory to God. What does that mean? If I mess up, if I blow it, I can get back up. Because it's not my effort that made me right in the first place. It's his effort. I may have consequences in the natural to deal with, but the reality is, as far as he's concerned, as far as the east is from the west, he remembers my sins no more. There's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you feel like you haven't done enough, if you feel like you haven't been enough, if you feel anything less than what he's paid the price for you to, I'm telling you, you're wearing the wrong yoke. And it's not too late. I said it's not too late. It's not too late. The Lord spoke this to my heart one day. I was, and the thought came to my mind. And I felt like it was the Lord. He's, you know, and I was one of those days where you feel like, you know, I haven't done enough. I should have done this. I could have done that if I'd have only done this. Or, you know, those thoughts. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, do you know that I knew you'd be right here today? Well, yeah, you know the beginning from the end. You know everything. He said, well, if I called you, knowing everything that would happen in your life up to this point, don't you think that you can feel your calling going forward? I was, duh, yes, 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 yes. Why? Because his yoke is on me, and he's leading me, and he's guiding me. Glory to God. For what the law, verse 3, could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on the account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. What does that mean? That's so good. I mean, if you really understood this, you couldn't stay in your seats. I'm so serious. I'm so serious. What the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. All of us were in that boat. The law, meaning this is what you have to do to obtain righteousness, none of us could do it. None of us could be holy enough. None of us could say enough prayers. None of us could fast enough. None of us could read enough. None of us could torture ourselves enough. Right? To try to obtain this. None of us could. Why? Because the flesh was tainted by the condemnation that came with sin. And all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But watch this. God did. Everybody say, God did. God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. Lotion, account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. What does that mean? He took the condemnation for sin in his flesh when he hung on the cross. Whose sin? My sin. Your sin. All sin. So when I take his yoke upon me, there's no condemnation. So many of us walk around thinking God's mad at us. That God's disappointed in us. That God can't use us anymore. Our thinking is all wrong. Because He sent His Son to make up for your shortcomings. He sent His Son to take care of your problems. So what do you have to do? I'm not saying you're not going to make mistakes. I know most of you. I know that we all have faults, right? But the reality is I'm not standing in me. I'm standing in Him. So I can get up tomorrow and just say, Lord, yesterday's gone. But I'm coming right now in Jesus' name. Lord, use me today. I'm taking your yoke upon me. God, there's a world that needs to see you, and I'm available to be used by you to speak to somebody. But Lord, I'm going without condemnation. I'm going without the thought that I have to be anything to be good enough to be used by you. I'm coming covered by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now I'll just say this, that some people say, well, okay, you got saved, but you need to become discipled before you can be used. Right? And some of them go, well, you need to go to seminary, you need to go to this, and you need to have 3 degrees. And I believe personally that the moment that you get saved, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. And if you'll believe it, He'll give you the very words to speak to the person that you're speaking to. And person that's born again yesterday can give their testimony today, and people can follow that and get saved. Right? So I'm qualified because of the blood. I've got His power because I'm wearing His yoke. Hallelujah. Verse 2 again, it says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of the sin of death. For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. On account of sin, He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us. Fulfilled in us. Fulfilled in us. Fulfilled in us. What does that mean? It's taken care of. The requirements of the law have been taken care of. Whew! I'm His child. You're His child. Not because you're all that. Or that I'm all that. It's because I'm in Him. He took my condemnation, but He filled me with His righteousness. And the requirements of the law, which would put a yoke on me that I couldn't contain, He fulfilled. So I said, oh, I'm going to get, Lord, just a minute, I'm getting in the yoke right now. Because your yoke is easy. Your burden is light. This job I have, Lord, I'm going to do it in you. These kids I have, Lord, I'm going to do. These bills, Lord, I'm going to do it in that yoke. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah. This pain that I'm going through, Lord, in my body and my flesh, Lord, it seems like forever, but it's only going to be a few seconds, God, before I'm with you forever. So even in this pain, I'm getting in the yoke. I don't know about you, but I'm preaching me happy. Watch this. Now, again, as a caveat, and I got to close in a minute, but a caveat, I need you to remember that if you're saved, you're in the Spirit. Now, I know that there's something about praying in the Spirit, worshiping, that can get you there. And what that really does is it shuts your soul down and the thoughts that are contrary and brings you back into the place where you're listening to your spirit man. But positionally, I'm in the Spirit already.
Yes.
Do you understand what I'm saying? So positionally, you're in the Spirit. So when we read through this, I think it will help clear some things up for you. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. There was a time when I read this that I felt like a yo-yo. Well, I'm of the flesh now. I'm of the spirit now. I'm of the flesh now. Until I figured out that it's positionally that he's talking about. I'm of the spirit because I received him as my Lord and my Savior. And he gives me the ability to renew my mind to who he is and what he said and what he has for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For sake of time. Verse 9 says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he is not of his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. I can take his yoke upon me because he paid the price for me to be able to do it. We should walk out of here not controlled by the burdens that the pressure of the world or situations would put on us, but just really recognizing the fact that I'm with him and he's with me. Jesus loves me. This I know. And if he loves me and I'm hooked up with him, he's going to take care of what's going to come tomorrow. Remember the old song? Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living just because he lives. I want to leave you with that and understand that the reason that that is true is because his yoke is available for you. Amen. Y'all get something this morning? Come on, come on. Put it into practice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you're alive. I thank you that you've not left us and you haven't forsaken us. And Jesus, how could we say thank you enough for taking our place on the cross? We love you. We honor you. We respect you. And so many years ago, you changed my heart completely. So, Lord, I just, if anyone's listening, Lord, that hasn't received you, Lord, I just ask that you would do your job and draw them to yourself right now. If you're there, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you know you need a Savior because you know you're not perfect. Reach out to him. Ask him into your heart. Yield yourself completely to him. If you've never been baptized since you've been saved, it's the absolute ordinance of the church. We're going to have one next weekend. But what it does is it signifies to the world and to everyone that you're identifying with his death, his burial, and his resurrection. Glory to God. Father, we just thank you for your word today. I thank you for being with us. Bless all those who are listening online and everybody that's in this room. We just give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen. Let's close with a worship song. If I could have the worship team come up. Come on, worship him. But don't leave here yoked up to your problems. Leave here yoked with him. If you need prayer, be happy to pray with you. Come on up. He is Lord.